Okay, we're going to talk about the mitzvah of aro, or the east, the lo taseh for an aro to eat, not to eat truma. So it's connected to korban pesach. The aro is not allowed to eat the korban pesach, and an aro is also not allowed to eat truma. And the Gemara Nivam is going to learn gzeirah shavu'tina. But we're going to talk about it because our Tosos and our Daf discusses this topic, so I wanted to discuss it. So the Gemara has a drasha, we call aro lo yochel bo regarding korban pesach, that an aro is not only korban pesach. So let's just go first through the Tosos, okay? So actually, if you look at the Rashi Dibur HaMaskil Aro, Rashi says Shemesu Akav Makamas Mila, which is exactly what Rashi says in the Mishnah in Yevamos, where it's talking about the din of Truma. So whether we're talking about Truma or whether we're talking about Korban Pesach, Rashi always says that when it says Aro, not only the Mezid Aro who refuses B'mezid to do Bris Mila, but even if there's an onus, he's not allowed to because it's Sakana for him, and nevertheless, he's still called an Aro, and he's still not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach, and he's still not allowed to eat Truma. That's what Rashi claims, and what we're going to find out is this is actually a machlokas rishonim between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam claims, no, if it's a case of ones, which is a case of mesu akav machmas mila, Rabbeinu Tam claims he is allowed to eat truma. He's not called an aro, and he's allowed to eat truma, and he would be able to eat the korban pesach. Okay? So that's a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam that we're going to discuss. So if you look at the Tosos, the bottom Tosos explains Rashi, not Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so let's see the Tosos. Aro peish akuntra shemesu akav makmas mila. Now says Tosos, ulute rusho pasonami betruma. So that's what I'm trying to explain. That since we're going to read the Gemara Yevamos, the Gemara Yevamos has a gzeira shava, sakir and tosha from korban pesach. It says tasha besochel yochobo. It says by truma tasha besochel yochobo. So the Gemara says yalif truma mi pesach b'gzeira shava. The tosha besakir based on the words tosha besakir. Meaning, what the Gemara says is, it never says in the Chumash that an aro is not allowed to eat truma. But the Gemara learns it from a gzeirah shavah, or there will be other limudim which we'll discuss. Okay, fine. But now, since the Gemara equates the two based on the gzeirah shavah, says Tosos, so whatever way we're going to define aro legabe korban pesach has to be carried over regarding the din of truma, if the derivation is through the gzeirah shavah. Is that clear? Okay. V'ha d'mibaylan has. Now, if Rashi is correct, that despite the fact that a person is an onus, he's still called an aro, and he's not allowed to eat korban pesach, and he's not allowed to eat truma, we have a following question that Tosus says. V'adimibaylan hasan, the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Aleph, has a question. Aro katan ma'u lasuko shemen sho truma. If you have a little baby, boy, are you allowed to put truma, and we're talking about before the eighth day, right? Are you allowed to put truma on the little baby boy? Do you say the fact that it's premature before the eighth day, it's still called an orla and it invalidates? That's the question in the Gemara. Olo. That's the Gemara's question. So what's bothering Tosus is, look, who cares about the fact, what's the shaila? Whether it's before they are not. Lamaisa, does the kid have a bris milah? No. So isn't Rashi always looking at the physical reality, whether you have a bris milah or not, and we don't care about the considerations of why he doesn't have a bris milah? So the same way Rashi will say that despite the fact it is not his fault, but if the fact is that he doesn't have a bris milah, he's called an aro, why should we not so say the same thing before the eighth day? It is true, you cannot do the bris milah because it's before the eighth day, but so what? The reality is he doesn't have a milah. So if he doesn't have a milah, whatever the reason is, we don't care about reasons. According to Rashi, we should say the kid cannot have truma. So what's the shaila? Right? Rashi seems to look at the reality and not for the reason. So if Rashi looks at the reality and not for the reason, what's the chiluk whether the reason is because of ones or the reason is because of before it's the eighth day? In both cases, the metzias is he doesn't have a bris milah, and that's what counts, not the reason, right? That's what's bothering Tosus. So let's read Tosus' answer. So Tosus answers, Yesh lechalek ben shelo bezmana dekatan shein chayav lamo ki yotzebo lemesu achav machmas mila deki yotzebo chayav. So Tosus says, I look at the objective picture. In the case of before the eighth day, there's nothing particular about that person. Nobody has a bris milah before the eighth day. So if it's an objective standard that the bris milah is only on the eighth day, what the Lamdusha way of saying what those are saying is, he's not called an aro. The psul of aro doesn't set in until the eighth day, because there's nothing particular about that person. And nobody does bris milah, so he's not called an aro. So once he's not called an aro, that's the shaila in the Gemara. Is he called an aro or not? But it's possible to say that he's not called an aro, and that is why you can put truma oil on the baby. But in the case where it's past 8 day and there's something particular about this family, because the two brothers died, mitu achav machmas milah, so he's certainly an aro. He's just simply an anus, so being an anus doesn't in any way remove the reality. He still has a psul aro. It may not be his fault, but he's still an aro. And therefore, Rashi would say he cannot eat truma. So that's the Lamdusha way of understanding the Torah. Is that clear? So first of all, I want to analyze the shaila in the Gemara in Yivamos. So what is the shaila there? If we say he really is, if we say before the eighth day he's not an aro, what's the shaila? So you could say, the way I would understand it is, that perhaps the arlos is right away. You should really do the bris milah right away. But the only thing is, there's a block, you have to wait till the eighth day, because the baby is not ready. Or do you say, no, since you have to wait till the eighth day, the whole arlos doesn't set in the first place. So that's the shaila in the Gemara. Do you understand that really the mitzvah of milah is right away, and he's an aro right away, but there's a block because we have to wait for the baby to be ready? Or no, because we have to wait for the baby to be ready, then bechlal, the whole mitzvah doesn't set in, and the whole arelus doesn't set in the first place. You found that's the shaila in the Gemara. Fine. So now, Tosus continues. Then Tosus says, Viteda, I'll bring you another proof that Rashi is... So first Tosus answered a possible question on Rashi. And now Tosus says, I'll bring you a raya that Rashi must be correct. Meaning, in the light what I told you, that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi, what Tosus is saying is, I'm going to bring you a raya that Rashi is correct and Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. So this is going to be a raya for Rashi and a kasha on Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So what's the raya? Because he says, tumtum, you know what a tumtum is. Tumtum means both organs have been covered, and what they do is they do an operation and then they discover what it is. Okay? That's a tumtum. like tumtum means latamta, means cover up. Okay, so tumtum eino oko betrum. The Gemara says that a tumtum cannot eat truma beperakar. Afogav the mistabra in chayav lekroa. Even though he's not, he's like an anus. He doesn't have to decide and do an operation. He doesn't want to do an operation, and yet he doesn't eat truma. So that's a riot to Rashi, that being an anus is not a justification for eating truma. So what's the chiluk, whether the reason of anus is because of tumtum, or the reason of anus is because the brothers died? It shows you that anus is not a ptur. We just have to see if he's an aro. If he is, despite the fact that it's not his fault, he cannot eat truma. Okay? Huadin, says Tosus, Mesu Achav Machmas Mila, De Eino Oko Afogab, De Eino Chayavla. And then there's another raya they bring against Rabbeinu Tam from a Yerushalmi. Because the Yerushalmi says that if Achas Tochama, which means the baby became sick, so the Yerushalmi says he also doesn't eat Truma, even though it's an anus. So says the Rishonim, the Rashba says, you see from here, a ptur ones of sickness doesn't justify to eat truma. So the same way sickness doesn't justify, so too the brothers dying doesn't justify. These are all riots for Rashi and Kasha and Rabbeinu Tam. So let me tell you Rabbeinu Tam. So first of all, let's open the Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara has this whole drush. So we're going to look at the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Ayin. It's the beginning of Perek Ha'arav, which deals with the whole topic of Truma. This is the whole theme of the entire Perek, the 8th Perek of Yevamos, Daf Ayin. So Rashi, so the Mishnah says, Ha'aro v'kol atmeim lo yochlu b'chum. That's all we need. And Rashi again says the same thing. So Rabbeinu Tam, how does he learn this Mishnah of Aro? How does he understand the whole din of Korban Pesach? If he claims being an anus will allow the person to eat truma, so how does he understand the Mishnah? So Rabbeinu Tam says that the word aro means that he's afraid to do the operation, but not because there is any justification. There's no justification. He's psychologically, he's afraid of operations. So he's psyched up, you know, he's fearful. But that doesn't justify him to eat truma. So in that case, he's not allowed to eat truma, says Rabbeinu Tam. But if he's a real anus, says Rabbeinu Tam, of course he can eat truma. What do you want? It's not his fault. Anus Rahmanifaj. Okay? So we want to analyze the makhlokas. I'm going to use the notes. Rav David Povarsky has notes on Yevamos. So he says the following explanation. Okay? So I'm going to try to go along, quote to you, tell you what he says. He says like this. Clearly, what we have to say for Rabbeinu Tam, he says, it's clear. See, he declares a hakira. Says, how do you understand? What came first, the chicken or the egg, so to speak? He says, do you say that automatically every baby is an aro? Every person is an aro. And because he's an aro, that creates a mitzvah of bris milah. So the arelus leads to the mitzvah. Arelus comes first. So therefore, if you say that he's automatically an aro, and you need the mitzvah to remove, so to speak, this psul of arelus, even if it's not his fault, he's still an aro. You follow me? That's what Rashi will understand. Okay? Rabbeinu Tam will say it's the reverse. There is a mitzvah of doing a bris milah. And it's because until he does the bris milah, he has the psul of arelus in order to encourage him to do the mitzvah of bris milah. You follow? So that's the thing. What is the ikar and what is the tapa? According to Rashi, the ikar is the arelus, and the mitzvah is a consequence of being an aro. And therefore, even if it's not his fault, lemaisa, he's still an aro. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's the reverse. he's really mechuyev in the mitzvah of bris milah, and it's almost as a encouragement for him, you know, to do the bris milah. The Torah says, well, if you don't do the bris milah, or until you do the bris milah, you're an aro. But if it's not his fault, then you don't have that punishment of arelus, you don't have that knas of arelus, and therefore he's not an aro. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, arelus is like a knas, an onus. But if it's not his fault, he's an onus, he doesn't have that onus. So therefore, he can eat the korban pesach, he can eat truma, and all these things apply. Okay? That's how he wants to explain. Okay, so with this understanding of the machlokes, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, so the first question is, how will Rabbeinu Tam? This is the most important. I quoted to you two riyas that Rishonim bring for Rashi against Rabbeinu Tam. So Rav David Pavarsky explains, how will Rabbeinu Tam? I mean, the Rishonim already addressed this question. The Ritva and the Rashba try to answer on behalf of Rabbeinu Tam. So, just the question of what they really mean. So, Rav David Pavarsky explains the lumdus of what the Rishonim mean to answer on behalf of Rabbeinu Tam. Again, let's repeat the questions. We have the Raya from Yerushalmi, an onus of being sick. Clearly, Yerushalmi definitely says cannot eat truma. And number two, tumtum. So why is tumtum and sickness an onus that does not allow, and yet brothers dying will allow? That's the question. And Rav David Pavarsky says that the lumdus is, the basic word is it an external problem or an internal problem? What is the onus? Is the onus coming because he cannot fulfill the mitzvah of milah, or it's some other reason why he can't do it? So he says, if you learn, Rabbeinu Tam will say, yes, onus, so to speak, prevents the onus of milah from setting in, and he's not an aro, but that's only onus due to the milah itself. So if the brothers died, lemaisa, there's no obligation, there's no mitzvah of doing the bris milah because his brothers died. You follow? So unless you can practically execute the bris milah, the mitzvah doesn't set in, and mimele, he doesn't have the punishment or the psul of arelus. But if there's the mitzvah of milah sets in, and he's really an aro, but he can't do it for other reasons, because he's sick, or because he's a tumtum, and we don't know what, you know, b'metzias it's not possible, that in no way stops the mitzvah. That's not a chisar in the mitzvah, that's an external problem. That's a metzias problem, that's not a halachic problem. So then Rabbeinu Tam is moda that once the chiyuv of the mitzvah sets in, he's certainly an aro. The only time Rabbeinu Tam will say he's not an aro is if the mitzvah doesn't set in because of the actual mitzvah itself. So then we say there is no onish, there's no psul because of the mitzvah of milah. But if it's due to other considerations, practical considerations that have nothing to do with the mitzvah of milah, such as being sick or because he's a tumtum, that's practical issues. So then Rabbeinu Tam is moda, the mitzvah is there, the chiyuv is there, he's certainly not. You follow? That's the lamdasha way of answering the questions on Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So then, in addition, he just adds a couple of ha'aros. Rav David Pavarsky adds a couple of ha'aros based on this lumdus of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, well, what about the case of a katan? Okay? So he says, I'm talking about a katan who owns a bottle. So the Minchas Chinuch discusses the question, a katan who owns avadim, can he eat the korban pesach? So he has a bris milah, but he never did bris milah on the avadim. So there is a Rambam that he quotes, where the Rambam says that based on the pasuk, he is allowed to eat the korban pesach. Okay, perikay milkos korban pesach halacha vav. Let me read the words of the Rambam: hey vav and korban pesach. Katan, Ein milas avada vitvila shivkosav miakevasus omilanos milihimnos alpes. So he can be counted with korban pesach. Shenemar v'kol eved ish lehotia sakat. So the Mincha Eskenach asked the question, why do you need a special pasuk to tell you that a katan can eat korban pesach even though the avadim did not have a bris milah? Katan is pater from mitzvos. And if he's pater from mitzvos, he doesn't have the mitzvah of bris milah on the avadim. And therefore, he didn't do anything wrong. He's pater from mitzvos. That's the Mincha Eskenach's question. So Mincha Eskenach says, well, really, every katan is really chayev in mitzvahs. Except he has a ptur. You know, it's a klera chakira. Is really a katan completely mufka from mitzvahs? Or is really mechuyev with a ptur? You follow? So he claims, what you have to say, the lambda says, is a katan is really chayev in mitzvahs. At least, I guess, if he's a gila chinuch or something, okay? But there's a ptur. Ptur onshin, so to speak. So because he really has this theoretical here with a ptur, therefore I would have had a havamina that he shouldn't be able to eat the korban pesach. He didn't do the bris milah on the avadim. Kamashalan, therefore you need a special pasuk. You follow? So Rav David explains that really fits into the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. That according to Rabbeinu Tam, that it is the mitzvah of milah that actually generates the obligation to eat, you know, for the arelos. And if there wouldn't be a mitzvah altogether, then there wouldn't be anything to talk about. So because the katan does have mitzvahs, and therefore he will have a status of obligation to do bris milah and the avadim, therefore it will be a havamina, he cannot eat the korban pesach. Therefore you need a special pasuk. Okay? So these are just further applications of this approach of Rabbeinu Tam, that it's the mitzvah of the bris milah that creates the arelus and generates all the other halakhic consequences. Okay, you follow? Fine. So now, there are a couple more points I'd just like to add. So first of all, what is interesting is we have a machlokis in the Gemara Nivamos itself. Mm-hmm. How do you know an aro cannot eat shum? So one is, the Rav Elazar says it's a gzeira shava of toshav sakir. Remember, there's no pasuk in the entire Chumash that ever tells you that an aro cannot eat shum. But we have a gzeira shava. It says toshav v'sacher lo yochol by korban pesach. It says toshav v'sacher lo yochol by truma. The Gemara learns that gzeira shava, we know by korban pesach, aro explicitly cannot eat. It's in the Ferish pasuk, aro lo yochol ba, right? Kol beineko aro lo yochol ba. So too, through the gzeira shava, we know by truma and aro cannot eat. That's Rav Elazar. And Rabbi Akiva says no, because it says ish ish. It talks about the din of tame. Anybody who is tame cannot eat truma. And it says the word ish ish. It says mitzora, zav, tame mace. Any tame cannot eat truma. And it says the word ish ish. Ish ish comes l'rabos, even an aro. Okay? So the Mincha Eskenach here has an interesting nafkamina, which is very kedai to talk about. What is the difference between the derivation, whether it's from the word tuma written by ish ish, meaning that an aro has like a form of a tuma, he's like a certain tuma, that is why he cannot eat truma, or it's because it's a gzera shava from korban pesach? Okay? So he says, nafkamina would be, if you learn ish ish, then you would apply it by all karbanos. If you say every aro has been like a tame, just like a tame cannot eat a korban, so too an aro cannot eat korbanos. So not only truma, any korban an aro cannot eat. But if you say it's a din of a gzera shava korban pesach to truma, that has nothing to do when it comes to other korbanos. You follow? That would be a nafkamina. Another nafka mina is, will there be an onish of Misa de Shemai? See, Pashtas, this is a law. There's a law by Korban Pesach. Again, no explicit law by Truma, but through the Gzera Shava, we will extend the law from Korban Pesach to Truma. But says the Minchas Kino, if you learn from Ish that is a din of a Tame has an Onish Karis, or Misa Videi Shemai. So that's much more chamer than just a law. So that would be another Nafkamina. Okay? And the third Nafkamina he wants to say is, what about Truma Tmei? So, Legabe Tame, there's no din for Tame by Truma Tmei. It's only Truma Tahor. So the law would not apply by Truma Tmeya. But if you learn from Korban Pesach, he's not allowed to eat, an arrow cannot eat Korban Pesach. So when it comes to Truma, even Truma Tmeya would be Asur as well. Those are the three nafkaminas he wants to get. Okay? Alright, so now, just to finally conclude with this, there is a Tosfos in Chagiga who discusses the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay? So let me now, we just have a couple of minutes left. So I just want to conclude with the following idea. What is so special when it comes to Truma that an Aro cannot eat Truma? Of all the things, especially if you learn like Rav Elazar, it doesn't even apply to other Karbanos, but Dafka Truma, an Aro cannot eat Truma. Why? We know by Korban Pesach, we know by Truma. Okay? So I believe the idea is, this is really an opening idea, an eye-opener for what Truma is about. What is Truma? What is so special about Truma? And I think, what is this connection between Korban Pesach and Truma, right? So we know Korban Pesach is about our emuna in, you know, the theme of Korban Pesach is No Avodah Zarah. That was what Yetzias Mitzrayim represents. Hashkaka Pratis, Hashem's rule in the world. And in a certain sense, whatever happened to Klal Yisrael is through God's intervention. That's what Korban Pesach is about. Our beginning of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, anybody who's an Aro, Bris Mila, of course, is our Bris with a Kaddish Bar. Of course, if we don't have that Bris, then we're not Roy for that Korban Pesach. Okay. What about Truma? What does Truma have to do with anything, right? So I think what Chazal are telling us is that Truma is also a reflection of Hashgacha Pratis. Because Truma is that when you take something mundane, it's like, it's even, you know, it's something that's not Kodesh, and you transform it into Kodesh by doing this Hafrasha, right? So you take what is called Teva, any produce that grows in any field, and you separate and you say, this is going to be Truma, and you say that out of something that's ordinary, mundane, you can be Mafri something that becomes Kodesh. That's what Truma is. And that's a reflection of the Hashgacha Pratis, that even from the mundane things, we can still, so to speak, separate and weed out and take something and make it Kodesh. So that also should be a statement of our emunah or our faith, and therefore somebody who's an Aro should not be eating the Truma as well. I'll just conclude with this. You know, it's interesting. We start Shas with Maseches Brachos, the first opening Mishnah. So you know, Chazal say that the Seder of the Mishnayos is Zeroyim, Moed, Nashim, Nizikim, Kachim, Tahara. And Zeroyim, it's based on the Pasuk, Vaya Emunah Sitecha, Chosin Yeshua, Skachon Svetas, right? Otzer Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Yotzer. So those words are symbolic of the Shisha Sidri Mishnah, because Emunah represents Zeroyim. And Brachos, which also deals with Emunah. So first Maseches deals with Brachos Emunah. So the first Mishnah, Maseches Brachos, which is the theme of Emunah, which talks about Kriya Shema, how does it start off? Me'emasai korin asashma. What's the answer? B'shasha kohanim neknasim le'acho b'trumas. Now, the simple way, until recently, it was always like a coincidence. It happens to be that the time to say Shema is when the stars come out. You need Lila. Also is the time when it's Lila for the din of Harav Shemesh to allow the coin to be completely pure from his tomb. But based on what we're learning now, I think there's something deeper. It's not just simply a coincidence, it's the same time of Laila, three stars. But there's a deeper connection between brachos of Kriya Shema, of Emuna, of a Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, represented through Yetzias Mitzrayim and Korban Pesach on the one hand, which is also manifests itself through the eating of the Truma, which is also the fact that the Kohanim eat the Truma, is also a reflection of our Emuna. And that's why the Psul of Arelus, which applies to Korban Pesach, Dafka should be by Truma as well. And that's the opening Mishnah in Maseches Brachos telling you that connection. There's a theme of Emuna in Kriya Shema, there's a theme of Emuna by eating Truma as well. So that's the connection over there. Right. Okay, I think we'll stop.